Okay, here we go. We are now, today is Rosh Chodesh Sivan. So, this is when 3,328 years ago the Jewish people came to the desert of Sinai. And we know in another 5 days we'll be celebrating the holiday of Shavuos. So we're going to talk about the holiday of Shavuos today. And the first thing we're going to talk about is the name. The name of Shavuos. And what is the meaning behind the name? And the simple meaning of Shavuos is what? What does the word Shavuos mean? It means weeks. Weeks. So what does weeks have to do with the name of the holiday? So the simple answer is that it is precisely, we count 7 weeks from the second day of Pesach till you come to Shavuos. The Torah tells us you count 7 weeks and then you'll have the holiday that comes after that. The Torah doesn't call it Shavuos, it just calls it a holiday. In other places it's called Atzeres, but it's logical to call it Shavuos because it's the 7 weeks that precede it that make it happen. Which is interesting because really a holiday name should really reflect the essence of the holiday. You know, Sukkos. The holiday is Sukkos because we celebrate the fact that Hashem put us in Sukkos. We were sheltered in Sukkos. That's a really good name. Pesach, Hashem passed over the houses of the Jews. That also is a good name. Shavuos, for that being the name of the holiday, it's kind of, okay, we're not going to deny it was 7 weeks, and we're even going to concede the fact that the message is that if you don't count the 7 weeks and prepare yourself properly, you're not going to really get the most out of the holiday. But still, the name falls short in really describing the essence of the holiday. So the first thing we're going to want to look into, further look into that name of Shavuos and see how we could explain it to reflect the essence of the holiday. That's point number one. Point number two is that we eat dairy. It's customary to eat dairy on Shavuos. Now, you shouldn't make a mistake. People make a mistake and think, and therefore no meat at all on this holiday, which is totally incorrect, because since it's a holiday, you must always have meat on a holiday. But it's a custom to have dairy as well, so we squeeze dairy in between the meals. So, you know, maybe at lunch, before you're going to have your meat meal, you make kiddush on some cheesecake, and that's it. So you have some dairy products, but it does not remove the basic. What's so funny?
I said it sounds good.
Sounds good.
Yeah,
sounds good. But really, you're still supposed to have roast and things like that because it's a Yom Tov. But before that, we have a little bit of dairy products. And why do we have dairy on Shavuos? There's a lot of reasons for that as well. And the most famous reason is that when the Jewish people received the Torah at Sinai, well, the first thing they found out was that they have to keep kosher. And kosher means you have to slaughter animals properly. And if it's not, then the food was treif. The utensils that you used to cook and prepare all the food till then, they found out now was treif, because they didn't know about slaughtering animals properly. They had been eating treif. It was okay. They weren't commanded in keeping kosher, so it was not a problem. But now that you have to keep kosher, all your plates and your pots and everything, they have absorbed the taste of treif, so you can't use them. So what were they going to eat? Well, what doesn't need a lot of cooking utensils? What doesn't need a lot of plates? Dairy. You have cheese, you have, you know, milk, stuff like that. It doesn't have to be prepared, it doesn't have to be cooked. So for a little while they had to eat dairy. So that's cute. That's like a nice concept. But, you know, so that's why we eat dairy today. So what is our eating dairy today? Okay, you know, have us involved in. So that's nice. So they ate dairy. So now we ate dairy to remember that. Okay, you know, there must be something deeper than that. There are more reasons for that. But even staying in that reason, we have to think about it. The third thing we do, what these are the only things we really do on Shavuos. What's the next thing we do on Shavuos? Is what? We stay up all night to learn. Okay, why do we stay up all night to learn? Well, you remember when the Jews got the Torah, they overslept. When God was going to give them the Torah the morning, yeah, they were sleeping. So Hashem had to wake them up. They overslept. Oh, so we try to repair that by staying up the whole night. So again, like that's okay. So that's something they did over there. So they overslept. Because they overslept, I got to stay up all night? Like, why do I got to suffer? Those are three basic questions. But there's a more overall question that we have to analyze. And the question is, to be brutally honest and not spiritual. I mean, if you look in the calendar, you look at the Jewish world, which holiday is the least celebrated of the 12 million Jews in the world? Between Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur, Hanukkah, and Purim. Shavuos. Shavuos is even secular. You know, conservative Jews, they know about Purim. I mean, you know, secular Jews, they know about it. Shavuos is like, it's just like, where was it? It just didn't happen. It just didn't happen. You know, well, you could say, because it really is commemorating the giving of the Torah, so not everybody's excited about Torah. But let's look at even further. Let's even look within the Orthodox community. If I ask the men, for sure, and the women, moderately, which holiday do you find the most difficult to celebrate? Well, you know, Sukkot, yeah, okay, you have to build a sukkah, but that's before Sukkot. It's pretty painful. Before Sukkot, it's painful because men are not that great about building, you know, Jewish men, you know, okay, present company excluded, but many Jewish men, like, they and hammers and nails and that, don't go along. We like looking in books, you know. I'm not into building. You know, and buying a little recipe, that takes a lot of time, you know. But once it's there and it's done, I mean, especially if you live in Israel, being in a sukkah is very pleasant. It's very pleasant to be in a sukkah. It's a very pleasant holiday.
Actually, it's my favorite holiday.
Pesach, okay. I'm not going to minimize the challenges of cleaning the house for Pesach and cooking and everything. But once the house is ready, Pesach's a pretty good holiday. It's a pretty good holiday. Shavuos doesn't need much preparation at all. Outside the norm, but the holiday is miserable. What do I mean? Well, if you follow the rules, it's a miserable holiday. What do I mean? Well, Sukkot, first night of Sukkot, you could eat dinner about 7:30, 8 o'clock. Pretty reasonable hour to eat dinner. Not too late. Even Pesach, you could start the Seder by 8 o'clock. Start the Seder, okay, you eat a little later. Shavuos, when can you start, especially this year, it's after Shabbos, when are you going to start to prepare to set the table? The earliest is like something, to 9:45 to prepare, so you're going to make Kiddush and sit, it's going to be well after 10 o'clock. Because you can't make Kiddush until nightfall, and Sukkot is in the longest part of the summer, or Shavuos is the longest part of the summer. It means you're not making Kiddush till 10 o'clock. Okay? And now God says, now you're going to have a big sumptuous meal now. At 10 o'clock, it's really late. And then after you've ingested hundreds and hundreds of carbs, you know, challah and whatever, now you got to stay up the whole night and learn. It's not pleasant. It's not pleasant. People go to work during the day. Okay, this year happens to be an exception. It's Shabbos is Erev Yontif. So you'll get a Shabbos shluf maybe, but normally it's not so. Normally, you know, people work, even if they come home a little early, but, you know, and you're tired. And now you had a meal with lots of carbs. And now you got to stay up until sunrise to learn Torah. Now, that's very hard. First of all, for many people, it's very hard just to learn it all. And now you got to learn about 5 hours, right? And you're tired. And it's very comical looking around the room sometimes on a Shavuos night in any synagogue, where there's a number of people you see Nebuch the whole night. The whole night, this is what they do. They have a book in front of them, yeah. A book, and they start reading a few lines. And within seconds, they get tired. Their eyes start to close, and then they go down, down, until they go so down to the you know, their neck hops and they go back up, and then it starts over. I remember when I was little, somebody brought me back, they were in Florida, they brought one of these automatic, these little ducks that dips down to the water, fills up with water, then it goes all the way up, and then starts again, dipping down. I forgot what, you know what I'm talking about? This is old. So it's like, that person's like that thing the whole night. It's a miserable night, you know, and they're tired, it's so tired, like, what are you doing to me? And then, bright and early, 5 o'clock in the morning, after being up the whole night, now you got a daven. And it's not just a regular davening, it's a Yom Tov davening. And if in your Eretz Yisrael and it's one day, we put everything. We at least don't have to do everything in one day. The davening is a long. Yom Tov davening is long under the best of circumstances, right? With Musaf and Duchening and Hallel and this and that. I mean, even a normal Yom Tov davening is close to 3 hours, right? Then you say Akdamos. There's a whole poetry you say before the laning. That's in Aramaic. Nobody knows what we're talking about. And then at least in Chusas, you have 2 days Yantar. So the second day, you could read the Book of Rus, at least on the second day. And Yiskers, you kind of spread it out. And there it's all in one morning. Can you imagine? You're up the whole night. You have a whole davening, everything, a whole Yantar. And you're throwing Megillas Rus. And you're throwing Yisker. You're dying. You're dying. And you're done by 8 o'clock, 8:30. You're finished, man. You're finished. You just go right into bed. You have like the worst sleep, sleeping when it's daylight outside. Yeah. Try to sleep 4 or 5 hours. You get up 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. You can't have guests for that meal because no one knows when your guest's getting up. And when you're a rookie, first couple of years, you invite guests for the first day of Yom Tov, and then you find out that they don't come for about 2 hours, and you don't know. Then you learn you don't invite guests the first day of Yom Tov. At night, you invite guests, but the first day, others. And you get up, and you're like feeling, and then you eat, and then now what do you do now? It's like 3 o'clock. So you're still kind of tired. You go back to sleep a little bit more, right? Then you go to shul, and then the next night, you can't fall asleep because you slept in the day. And again, the next meal, you can't eat that for sure till 10 o'clock again. Another miserably late meal. So if you really look at it from a point of enjoying the Yom Tov, it was not designed for your enjoyment. Do you follow what I'm saying? And therefore, you know, it's interesting. I was speaking to one of the rabbis that was there last night, and he mentioned, you know, he said, quote, "I'm finding many less people are staying up Shavuos night." Is a big shul. He's finding less people staying Shavuos night, and understandably so. It's hard to stay up Shavuos night. It's hard to stay up Shavuos night. And there would be those who suggest that, you can understand why. They say, listen, you know, let's forget about this staying up at night. It's just a custom. It's a custom now. It's not a mitzvah. It doesn't say thou, you know, like I've said before, Pesach night to say the Seder is not a custom. That's a law. You have to do the Seder. And if anything, the longer you do it, the more you're doing the mitzvah. Here, the longer you do it, the more you're doing the custom. But it comes out of custom is ripping out your enjoyment of the Yom Tov, which is really it's a biblical commandment to enjoy the Yom Tov. V'samachta b'chagecha. You shall take joy in the Yom Tov. And there's a lot of ways of having joy, but one of them definitely is to enjoy it. You know, get a good night's sleep. You don't have to sleep more, but you get a good night's sleep and a nice meal. And of course, you learn Torah. So many people say like this, listen, okay, it's bad enough we got to wait till 10 o'clock to make Kiddush. Okay, we'll have a meal. We'll go to bed at 12 o'clock. And then I'll get up for Minyan the next day, 8:45. It's not so bad. Get 8 hours of sleep. We'll daven. And then we'll go home and eat lunch, and then maybe in the afternoon we'll learn a couple hours. And you know what? And logically, won't you learn better in the afternoon? So, like, the whole Yom Tov is, like, designed for pain. A custom is designed to give you pain. It's almost like the custom is uprooting the mitzvah of enjoying the Yom Tov. So now you can understand why even of the frum people, they find it, and even if the ladies don't stay up, but they are tied to their husband's schedule, you know, and they still have to eat the meal at 10 o'clock at night, and then what do? The next morning, all the kids get up, they're up and at them, and the husband says, I'm sorry, I was up all night, I have to sleep. So now, instead of having your husband to maybe take them to shul or whatever. You're stuck with the kids. Wait till daddy gets up. You know, you're waiting and waiting, and if he sleeps, you know. So it's like what is going on over here? So this is what we have to explain some of these ideas that we have over here. So let us begin by discussing, first of all, what are the great virtues of staying up at night? Okay, what are the great virtues of staying up at night? The holy books write, there's a tremendous amount of sanctity, holiness, that Hashem pours into the world for those who stay up the entire night of Shavuos. Mystically, there's a lot going on. A person will be shown the book, the holy books, right? A person will be shown signs of great love from Hashem beyond measure. We are told in the holy books that a person who stays up the entire night will merit that he will finish up his year without any damage, without any incident of hurt. You'll be protected. If a person has done sins and has been decreed on them that bad things should happen by staying up the night of Shavuos, you can nullify the decree. The rabbis say that certain blemishes, spiritual blemishes that you have acquired over the year through sinful behavior, staying up all night can fix up those blemishes. And listen to this of the most outstanding, that it can bring, staying up all night can atone for even sins that come with it the punishment of kares, being cut off spiritually, which is one of the worst sins. Staying up all night fixes it up. So now I understand why the custom is to stay up, because you want to get rid of all these terrible things. But the question is, why? What's so amazing about staying up all night like this? What is the great merit of staying up all night? And there's one other interesting little anecdote, we will say. Very interesting anecdote, and this is where we're going to start to explain things. This anecdote is related by a rabbi of blessed memory, Rav Eliyahu Roth, who was once studying by his Rebbe, a very holy man, Rav Shloima of Zhevil, the Zhevila Rebbe. It was a holy, holy man. And it was one Shavuos night, they stayed up the whole Shavuos night, and the Rebbe from Zhevil turned to his student, as it was just pre-dawn hours, and they're getting ready to daven. They had learned the whole night, and it's a pre-dawn. So Rav Shlomo Zhevil tells his student, you know, he says, you know, right at this time of day, up in the heavens, they ask all Jewish souls, do you wish to receive the Torah? You should know what's going on now. They're asking all our souls who want to receive the Torah. And now is the time. And our souls all say, Nasa v'nishma, we will do and we will listen. So you know what? He turns to the student. So let's say that right now. Nasa v'nishma. We will do and we will listen. That's what he said. So again, there's a question on the story as well. First question is, he's saying, well, we merit, by staying up all night, that we merit that we get a lot of purity and all this stuff. So we have to understand why. Why do we get this? Number one. And number two, our souls say, Nasa v'nishma. You'd figure, you know, I would say there'd be a different time on Shavuos where our souls say, Nasa v'nishma. When would that be? When we read the Torah in the morning, when they read the Ten Commandments. When the Jews, when we read the parts that it said, we said, Nasa v'nishma. You know, that part is what should be, that's when our soul should be saying, Nasa v'nishma. Right? And more than that, if we don't, Do you know your soul says Nasa v'nishma? So if I don't know what my soul's doing, so what am I getting involved in things that my soul doesn't know about? These are all the challenges that this holiday of Shavuos presents. So now we'd like to explain what's going on over here. First of all, we'd like to tell you that what's riding on the line on the holiday of Shavuos? To realize the great importance of the holiday of Shavuos. And the Shalom HaKadosh tells us the following. He teaches us the awesomeness of this day. He says, Shavuos is a great day of judgment. It is a great day of judgment. And what is the judgment? And it's very similar to Rosh Hashanah as a day of judgment. But it's two different judgments of these days. What are we judged for on Rosh Hashanah? We are judged strictly for what our physical reality will be for the coming year. As we say in the Nisan HaTokev, who will live, who will die, who will be rich, who will be poor. Hashem decides what kind of year you're going to have physically. Physically, what kind of year? Are there going to be pogroms, chas v'shalom? Is there going to be a war in Israel? Like, it's all decided on Rosh Hashanah. Tragedies are decided on Rosh Hashanah. Good things are decided on Rosh Hashanah. Are you going to have children, not going to have children? That's all. The physical realm is decided on Rosh Hashanah. But when is the spiritual realm decided? That's decided on Shavuos, teaches us the Shaloh HaKadosh. He says, this is the Rosh Hashanah for spirituality, while the regular Rosh Hashanah is the Rosh Hashanah for physicality. And they bring down from Rav Baruch of Meshibuz. He said that he was more overcome with awe, more afraid of the judgment of Shavuos than the judgment of Rosh Hashanah. Now, if you think about it, it makes a lot of sense. Because in the Torah, there is no days of preparation for Rosh Hashanah. It just tells us on the first day of Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah. But you see, by Shavuos, it says, you count 49 days from Pesach to Shavuos. That's the weeks. Now, what kind of holiday needs so much preparation? 49 days. The Torah says it. 49 days. Rabbinically, we're told you should prepare 30 days before a holiday to know the laws of the holiday. But now, biblically, God is writing, it's the only holiday where God writes 49 days from Pesach to Shavuos, you are going to prepare yourself. You're going to come prepared. So that tells you there's something awesome happening over here. And he says, what judgment should one be more afraid of? And he uses an expression like this. He says, so Lamaisa, he says, Rosh Hashanah, he says in Yiddish, I'll say in English. So Rosh Hashanah, Abilka Arup, Abilka Aruf. In other words, you're either going to get one more, a bilka, like a piece of challah, you know, a challah roll, a dinner roll, right? One more dinner roll, one less dinner roll. Make $100,000, $150,000. What's the difference? I mean, you're saying, what do you mean? It's a big difference. Well, tzaddik, it's a little more money, a little less money. What does it matter? That's not important. What's important is your whole spiritual year is decided on Rosh Hashanah, on Shavuos. Now let me explain, what does it mean your spiritual year is decided? The following things. He lists six items, but it's not an exhaustive list. He says, on Shavuos, Hashem's going to decide for each and every one of us the following. Number one, how much are we going to feel this incredible yearning for Torah? Which means, how excited are you going to be to learn Torah this year? Now, we know when we're excited about things, it's much more enjoyable. Right? So whatever, everybody has things they enjoy in life. If you enjoy going to rock concerts, there's a lot of people who must because they're making a lot of money, right? So you look forward to it. You get excited, right? But let's be honest, how excited do people get about learning Torah? Well, you're all here, you're learning Torah. I'm not saying you're not excited, but a lot of people are not here, not excited. And then there's doing things, you know, doing them or being really excited. So number one, Hashem's going to decide how much excitement you're going to have for learning during the year. Number two, how much Torah are you going to really understand this year? Sometimes you learn some Torah and you don't know it, you don't understand it. But you need divine help. It's all divine help, just like Parnassa. Hashem decides how much money you're going to make. You could try all day long to make money. You could be the smartest guy in the world and really try. Hashem says you're not going to get. You can be the dumbest guy in the world, and Hashem says you're going to get. So spirituality works the same way. Hashem says, okay, how much are you going to understand eternity? That's the sign on Shavuos. How much tranquility and expansiveness of mind will you have so that you'll be able to learn Torah with great joy? In other words, that your mind is with you. You know, a lot of times there's all kinds of disruptions in one's life that doesn't allow a person to learn Torah. All kinds of disruptions can come in your life. How many of those are going to happen or not? How much closer are you going to feel when you're davening to Hashem? Are you going to really love davening to Hashem? How about we have to fight with our Yetzirahs all the time in so many ways? Are we going to find it easier to fight the Yetzirah? Are we going to be more successful in defeating the Yetzirah or not? That's all decided on this coming Sunday night. Sunday. So it's awesome. Because remember, what happens to you physically on Rosh Hashanah? So you make a little more money, make a less money. You know what? In the ultimate end of the game, when you go up to Shemayim, it doesn't matter. The end of the day, when we all, after 120 years, go up to Shemayim, you're going to go back and say, well, in 2016, you made $100,000. In 2017, you made $150,000. In 2018, you made $20,000. That's, you know, it's just temporary. Ultimately, it's of no significance. But if we say, well, in 2016, you learned 5,000 pages of Torah, right? And you davened with a minyan every day and you had a great time. But another year you only learned 5 pages of Torah. It makes a big difference in the next world. It's not what last year was last year. No, it accrues. So therefore, this is an incredibly strong spiritual time. So that is number one where a lot of people, it's kind of a sleeper because it doesn't seem, you know, people don't realize that. Because, and what's happening, the rabbis say, and this is what the critical point is, how do you view the holiday of Shavuos? Do you view it as a commemoration of a historical event that happened to the Jewish people? 3,328 years ago, God gave the Torah to the Jewish people, and, you know, we remember that. And it's very nice, and we have a tradition, and we keep up that tradition. Or, the more correct way is saying that 3,328 years ago, God offered us the Torah. And this coming Sunday morning, Hashem is going to go to each and every one of us and ask us the very same question he asked the Jewish people, he asked them. Do you want my Torah? He asks us this every year. And we have to have an answer. Now, you can't just say, yeah. Because it's not so simple. Because God knows what's in your heart. So what Hashem is saying, that event of receiving the Torah at Sinai, it happens again every year. And especially every year when we're reading the Torah and we hear the Aseret Dibros, the Ten Commandments, we have to imagine we're standing on the mountain of Sinai as if we are receiving the Ten Commandments again. And the way we have to look at this Yontif of Shavuos is we're not just remembering a historical fact. It's a historical fact and a present reality. Hashem wants to hear from each and every one of us, do you want to receive the Torah or not this year? Not just because you're stuck with it, because you happen to be born a Jew, and you have to keep the laws of the Torah, or do you really want it? And we're going to have to understand what is exactly the extent of this question. Okay, so now, but this is the point. Now, we have to understand one other important thing. And this is when the Jews said, Hashem said, do you want the Torah? They said, Naaseh v'nishma. We will do and we will listen. What does that really mean, we will do and we will listen? And what was so great about what they said? So, the rabbis explained like this. We know that the Torah, in essence, is the sweetest thing in the world. There's so many verses of the prophets that say how delightful are the words of Hashem. It's like finding treasures. There's so many words that, you know, you see great rabbis that are learning Torah. Their faces are shining. They're so happy. They can have no much greater joy than studying Torah. But there's an interesting rule that goes with it. And it's called like this. Kol haschalos kashas. All beginnings are difficult. It's very difficult. And we hope that if we get past the difficult stage, God promises us after you get past the first stage, then it will become sweet. then it will be a great. Hashem has taught us an equation that when it comes to the Torah, when you're going to start learning Torah, it's going to be very hard. And there's no other way to look at it. There's a rule. It's called Kol Haschalos Kashas. All beginnings are hard. But when you pass the beginning, and for some people it takes a long time to get past the beginning, then it becomes sweet. So very simple, very simple. You take a kid and you start teaching him Aleph Beis. And he says, oh, I don't want this. That's boring. I don't want to do it. I got to remember this. This is an Aleph. This is a Gimel. This is a Zion. Who said I got to remember? It goes, ah, ba, gaz, ah. So what do? We're lining the kid's pocket with candies. We say, if you know all the letters, we'll give you a candy. Okay, I'll do it for the candy. And somehow, by hook or by crook, we get him to know the letters. He pounded in his head, and the kid gets more sweets in his system. We got to bribe him. That's the only way, because it's hard. It's hard. Or you whack him. In the old days, they whacked you. But he's got to get it. Right? Okay, now you're going to learn how to read. Okay? Ah, pa, right? Patach aleph, ah, kamatz beis, ba, ah, ba, ah, ba, ah, ba, ba. Okay. Ah, ba, ba, la, aretz. And the kids go, that's painful, painful, painful. And you got either you're smacking him up or you're rewarding him. But then it gets to a point. It gets eventually to a point where the kid knows how to read Hebrew. And then he's getting good at it. And he starts to enjoy it. And then you say, okay, now you got to understand what the words mean. We're starting again. It's another tough, tough thing. And it's painful. But then eventually gets everybody knows what the words mean. Now, you know what? Once a person knows how to read and you know what you're reading, it could be enjoyable. You can start reading things. Once you have the tool, you know. And then it gets a little older. You say, okay, now you got to learn Chumash. And the Chumash isn't so easy. And then you got to start learning Rashi. And Rashi isn't easy. And there's always another layer of a new thing. And okay, you learn Rashi, now you're going to start learning the prophets, and after the prophets, you're going to learn the Mishnah, and after the Mishnah, you're going to learn the Gemara, and after the Gemara, you're going to learn the Halacha. There's always the next thing to learn. And it's always, we have all of that, new beginnings. They're hard. That's what Judaism is about. It starts hard. But when you master it, it gets good. So now here is the question. God wants to know from the Jewish people, I'm telling you now, that it's going to be very hard in the beginning. But they'll come to a point where you will enjoy it. Where you will enjoy it. So now the question is, what was their response? Their response was, Na'aseh v'nishma. We will do and we will listen. Now we know that it can't be understood literally, because you can't do before you understand what you're listening to. So many explanations are given, but the one that we're going to share with you today is, the word na'aseh means we'll do. Now, Nasa means, the Jews are saying, there's going to be times in our lives where our Jewish observance will be by doing and not by enjoying what we're doing. Because all we have is the dry action of doing, and I'm not happy with it. And you know what? We're committed to doing it even though it's not enjoyable. Now we hope over time, because we know, the beginnings are hard. It's hard in the beginning. But we hope, as you promised Hashem, it's going to be good, it's going to be sweet at the end, and then Nishma will hear, means that we'll hear how good it is. We'll feel how good it is. And that's our hope. So we're committed to Nasa even before we get to the Nishma. Now this is extremely important, because what the Jews are saying is, they're not saying, well, you know, in Hashem, when Judaism is fun, that's when we're going to do it. And when it's not fun, that's when I'm not going to do it. Hashem said, I'm not interested in that. Hashem says, I'm looking for a commitment. And the rabbis take it a step further. It's like this. If a Jew says, you know, I really love Judaism. You know why? Because I enjoy it so much. Now, do you ever find it hard? Oh, no. The hard stuff, I just don't do that stuff. You know, there's these things that the hard stuff... Put aside, you know, whatever. Like, On Shabbos, you know, we keep Shabbos, but we drive to the beach on Shabbos because I like to go to the beach on Shabbos. Yeah, I make Kiddush Friday night. I like Kiddush Friday. I really like it. It's a good thing. The kids are together and with the family, get to talk to each other. I really like that part of Shabbos. I really like that. And Cholent's also a pretty good part of Shabbos. And even davening in the morning, you know, we sing and we like to sing. And I like to sing. It's enjoyable, you know. But in the summer, Rabbi, Shabbos until 9:30. What am I going to do the whole day? You know, I don't like to learn. My kids want, so we drive to the beach. So, you know, I keep the parts of Judaism I enjoy and the parts of Judaism I don't enjoy. Says the holy rabbis, you are no different than any other run-of-the-mill narcissistic person. You're no different than anyone else who is into just wanting pleasures for yourself. And guess what? It just so happens that Judaism at this particular time has more pleasure than other things. It's not that you're serving God. You're serving yourself. You're not serving Hashem. If your commitment to Judaism is only to the extent when Judaism is fun and happy and all that, that's what I like about Judaism. And when it's not fun, I don't like it. And the hard stuff, I certainly not want to get into. So then you're looking at Judaism as a more sophisticated form of satisfying your basic pleasures. That's really what it's all about. So there's pleasures. So just like in the non-Jewish world, you know, you have, let's say, basic pleasures are eating. That's basic pleasure, right? You run to the mill goy, you ask him what gives you happiness? Beer, pizza, hot dogs, whatever, you know, steak. That's very unsophisticated pleasures. If you're a more sophisticated goy, you say, what do you mean? I like listening to classical music. Psh, all day he's a sophisticated guy. He's sophisticated. He's still the same person who's into hedonism. It's just a more sophisticated hedonism. That's all it is. Because that gives me pleasure. Right? That gives me pleasure. Then you get people who are more sophisticated, that they read literature, poetry. I'm very sophisticated. Some people only read certain journals that are very hard to understand. Big fancy words, you know, big political theories, and say, I'm very sophisticated. We're very sophisticated people here. Or we, you know, I'm an archaeologist. That's a more sophisticated pleasure. In other words, you have to put a little effort into it, but the pleasure is more sophisticated. But at the end of the line, there's a common denominator. You're selfish. You just want to do what makes you happy, right? So a grubagoy. What makes him happy is a beer and a pizza. A more sophisticated person, oh no, I'm more sophisticated. You have to be a little more intelligent to appreciate what I appreciate. Become more sophisticated. But that's the common denominator is, I just want to be happy. That's all it is. Now, you could do the same thing with Judaism. The exact same thing. You know, I'm a little more sophisticated. We have Friday night dinner together. I like Shabbos because I can sleep on Shabbos. I like Judaism. A poor person can say, I like Judaism because there's a mitzvah of the gift to the poor. So I like that part of Judaism. I ask everybody to give me money. They have to give me money. Imagine you go to a goy. She's in the goyish world. She's in the goyish world and a goy will just knock on a goy's door and say, give me money. I'm not talking you're collecting for the Canadian Cancer Society. You have a goy knock on the door and say, I'm poor, I need money, give me money. This is not an accepted goyish practice. They got laws against it. I forgot what the word is called. You know, there's a fancy word. What? Soliciting. No solicitors. In Yiddishkeit, what are you talking about? Goy, you have to give him. So a poor man, you have to give him. So a guy say, I like Yiddishkeit. It's great. It's a great religion because I'm poor and you have to give me. Right? So Shem says, I didn't give you Yiddishkeit. And this is, yeah, it's very careful though. I didn't give you Yiddishkeit. She says, I'm a more, yes, I mean, Judaism with the most sophisticated pleasure. Nothing in the non-Jewish world's pleasures can compare to the sophisticated pleasure of Judaism. Because you know what? There is nothing more enjoyable once you know how than to study Torah. There is nothing more enjoyable in the world. And therefore, you could have, I've told this story before. Yeah, but you have stories of people who are totally secular Jews, that mom is sect, they don't keep anything, but they love to learn. They love to take out a Gemara and learn Gemara. They love it. Because it's so difficult. You know, you have to use your brains. It's the logic. It's, the logic is incredible. And they don't keep Shabbos. They don't keep kosher. And they love to learn Talmud. Many stories of that. You know, there's somebody that I know, not affiliated with us, someone that I know, who... Nice person. Totally not religious. Okay, surely religious. Nothing to it. And then one time I was just talking to somebody who knew the book, whatever. I was talking about one of the difficult books, the Chovos HaLevavos, the Duties of the Heart, written by Ibn Ben Pakuda. It was written in the 11th century. It was written, The Fundamentals of Judaism. It was the first really comprehensive book of the fundamentals, starting from proofs that there's a creator, proving there's a God, and from there moving on to how do you serve God, and then about trusting Hashem. It's incredibly fundamental, basic book. Now, this guy we're talking about, that we said is not religious, also, by the way, is an atheist. He's an atheist. Okay, anyway, it just came up in conversation. I was talking to someone who knew him, and the person like knew I was doing something with the book, Duties of the Heart. He says, oh, you know, my friend, this guy, he's gone through the book maybe 50 times. My jaw dropped. 50 times? He loves it. I said, I don't get it. You said he's an atheist. The first section gives you 12 proofs that God exists. And then it goes through, I mean, this is the bread and butter of Judaism. You know, this is like the kind of book that only people interested in being bigger and better Jews read. I mean, it's the whole section on Bitochen and Hashem, and that's what separates the men from the boys in Yiddishkeit. This is like such a powerful work. And the person said, oh, he loves it. He learned it so many times. I'm just flabbergasted. And I guess what is it? It was the tremendous logic behind it. So this guy gets great pleasure out of it, but only because it gives him pleasure. But it's nothing to do with Yiddishkeit. So therefore, this is the dangerous thing. The dangerous thing here is that don't allow Judaism to fall into that category of sophisticated pleasures that have nothing to do with God. And that's what Hashem told the Jewish people. He said at Sinai, he said, I want to know. How's going to be your approach to this religion? And they said, Nasevenishma, we will do. We're going to do it even if we don't enjoy it. Even if all we're doing is doing and we don't hear how good it is. Even though it's hard, we're going to do it. Now we hope that one day it'll be enjoyable. Like we'd like it to be enjoyable, but that's not going to be the criteria. No matter how unenjoyable it is, we're going to do it. Nasa, we're going to do it. You know, you have a shul dinner. You come home at, till I went to sleep last night, it was 1:30. Till I finally went to sleep, it was 1:30. The next thing I knew, it was 5:30. It's a miracle, because my alarm did not go off. I don't know why. I said it did not go off, but my head went off. At 5:30 exactly, I woke up. I go, oh my God, I got to get up. I'd be a million for 6 o'clock. It's not cool when the rabbi's not there at 6 o'clock. Right? And all the guys, everybody was at the dinner. Almost everybody was at Minyan. 6 o'clock. It was early because usually it's 6:30. Tuesday at 6:30. It was Rosh Chodesh. God, what kind of sixth sense of humor you got? Our dinner has to be on Rosh Chodesh. So we stay up late. And now we got to get up a half hour early. And except for two guys, everybody was here at 6 o'clock. This was not an enjoyable part of our Yiddishkeit, okay? Get it? It was not enjoyable. I was like, that's what it is. That's the commitment. That means you're in there. Nasev Nishma. Okay. Now, let's take it one step further. Now, I don't remember if any of you saw when we showed a video about a year ago called Beneath the Helmet. It was a very nice video produced by Rafal Shore. It's a documentary that talks about, I don't remember all of the deal, but it talks about basically how a young 18-year-old Israeli boy or girl as they get inducted into the army, the whole process of what's involved in them becoming a soldier. And it goes through the challenges that are involved. And then at the end, the last thing you have to do, like the final exam, is you got to do this incredibly difficult hike. I don't remember how many kilometers, like, I don't know, like 60, 80 kilometers, like an incredible amount of kilometers, while you're carrying a 100-pound backpack. You know, that's what they have to carry.
Also for
females? And all, yeah, what do you think? Any different? You want to be a soldier? Right. Anyway, you don't have to. You could do other things. You want to be a combat person, right? That you got to do that. And they show you how hard it is, and like they're dying, like their mom is dying, you know. But they all make it. And then what happens next? Well, not next, but they recover. And then comes their, what is the word? I don't know the guy. Their induction or whatever. They become, you get your cap, whatever. You get your thing. Right? You get you're now a soldier. So where do they do that ceremony? You know where?
Well,
at the Kotel. Nice. They give a very inspiring talk. You know, they go over a little history. You know. And this is what they do basically. They basically give their oath of allegiance to the state of Israel. And that oath of allegiance is very serious. It's very serious because that means you're going to put your neck on the line. There's a good chance that either you or someone you know, a good friend of yours, is going to get killed. By the time you finish your course of duty, you know, and reserves and all that, it's an oath of allegiance. It's not just them. It's an oath of allegiance. You have to be loyal to the state of Israel. It's a very emotional thing. And this is really, the truth of the matter, this isn't anything novel. Historically, when there were kings and kingdoms and King Arthur and the Round Table and all this stuff, his knights of the Round Table, they gave their allegiance to King Arthur. And they would die for King Arthur. And that, you know, if you look at these old English history, it's the greatest honor for a knight to serve the king and willing to give up his life to save the king. They felt that was mamish, the biggest thing in the world. And you can understand this. So it says the great rabbis the following. Let's go back. What's the name of the holiday? The holiday is called Shavuos. And we said Shavuos means weeks. And it's hard for us to relate to this. But Shavuos has another meaning. The simple word Shavua. A Shavua. What's a Shavua? An oath. When you swear. Shavua. In Hebrew, the word Shavua is an oath. You swear. So the rabbi said, well, what happened when we received the Torah? Hashem wanted us to make an oath of allegiance to him. Hashem said, I'm prepared to make you the chosen people. And I'd like you to carry the banner of Torah Judaism throughout the entire world. Hashem says, I want you to know what the world is around you. And when the Jews, in that time, in the year 2448, of the year of our Lord of creation, the entire world was uncivilized. They were pagan worshipers. They were immoral beyond comprehension. The norm was LGBT and all those and other initials. That was the norm. Homosexuality was a basic right, and everyone lived that way. They were abusive of people. It was a terrible world. It was a terrible, terrible world. Might made right. All the things that are terrible in the world. And that was called normal progress. Okay? You got this? You got this? Much more worse than the way society is even today. Right? Today they're all upset that they had to shoot a gorilla because a kid fell. And mamish, they were very nice to the mother. They decided not to prosecute the mother for being so irresponsible. When she had 3 or 4 kids already there. All those people never had a kid in their life. They can decide what's responsible or not. You try to take care of one kid on your own. You know, so they finally said, oh, we're not going to prosecute that. It was a crazy world. Jews were in a crazy world. And Hashem said, I'm going to give you a Torah, and it's totally different than the way everybody lives their lives. And you got to live your life this way. You got to be a role model to the rest of the world. And this is the life you have to live. And I'm looking for an oath of allegiance. So what was the oath? The oath was Nasa v'nishma. We'll do and we will listen. He said, "Not, we're going to do it, Hashem, no matter what. Even if I like it, I don't like it, I have allegiance to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nasa, I will do it." Now I hope that over time, I will get to the point where I'll see how beautiful this all is. And I'll be able to understand how beautiful it is when I open up a Gemara, it will become beautiful to me. Or let's say by my nature, I'm very stingy. It's so painful. For some people, it's painful to give money away. It is. Some have such a sickness. I can't, what do you mean? It's my hard-earned dollars. It's a prevalent Canadian, it's a sickness the whole world has. Because if we weren't giving taxes, there's no way the poor would live in this world. You know, what's a generous goy? You know what a generous goy is? You give $5 to the Cancer Society. That's very generous. Your average Canadian, that means after the millionaires who are giving money for write-offs for hospitals, right, gives 1% of their money to charity. 1%. Now, that's after the billions are given by companies to dedicate wings so they're going to get, you know, business from people. You know, that means they're giving garnished. You know, this lady comes every year to me. Nice lady. I don't know who she is, but you know, it's a Canadian Cancer Society. She knows I'm a big take because I give her $10. She thanks me a million times. $10 at the door. Everyone give her a buck. I give her $10. Yeah, because I have to give them shulachim, 18, 25, 50. So for $10, I give $10. Because she knows they don't give. Claim don't give. And they make a big deal. When you're cooking for yeshivas and things like this, you know, you got to give thousands. you go give them $10. You're the biggest tzaddik because nobody gives. Can imagine, you're a person, it hurts you to give. And Hashem says, guess what? You know, in the old days, you gave 22.8% of your gross income went for tzedakah, basically. Truma, miser oni. You had to give a lot of money to charity. And if a stranger came and asked for money, you had to give him also. That's what Torah says. That's painful. For a person who says, you know, I made the money, why should I give it away? It says, you got to do it. It takes the money. Oh, ow, ooh, ooh, whoa. Oh, you know, you got a dollar out of it, you know. And you want more. It's like, but, you know, you hope over time you could learn that it's a pleasurable thing. You know how many people you make happy from this? Stop looking at the pain of giving the dollar. Look at what good you do. Look at the good that you do. And see, look, you put a smile on somebody's face. Listen, an orphan was able to get married. You'd be able to behave like God himself. I hope one day I'll enjoy giving tzedakah. That's what the Jews said. So they said, they gave their oath of loyalty. Shavuos commemorates, this is what you got to know. And this, the ikker, the holiday is called Shavuos because it's the day we made an oath of loyalty to Hashem. And this is every year Hashem wants, and this happens every year. Every year Hashem says, I want to know, what's your oath of loyalty for Torah and mitzvahs this year? What's your oath? And just like we know, there are three books opened on Rosh Hashanah. The book of the tzaddikim, and the book of the wicked, and the book of the average people. And everybody signs the book on Rosh Hashanah, if you know it or not. You got a chance to do tshuva. You do tshuva, I want to be a tzaddik. We sign in for being a tzaddik. Say, I don't give a darn. You're signing in to be a Rosh. Just like there's three books that are open on Rosh Hashanah, there's three books open on Shavuos. Same thing. God says, okay, what are you signing up for this year? What are you signing up for? In spirituality, what are you going to do? What are you committing? What's your oath of loyalty? Well, you know, last year I learned 500 pages of Torah. This year I'm going to commit to 1,000. Write it down. I don't know. Are you gonna be coming to davening in the morning? Yeah, I'm committed for that. You committed for this? What? Other people say, nah, I don't know. I'll see. Then you're not committed. So this is what Hashem is looking for. He's saying, what is your level of commitment now? And this will determine what the year is going to be. And to the degree that we will make a commitment to Hashem, guess what He will do? He will be committed to us. Loyalty works both ways. You know, when a soldier is loyal in his army, he gets promoted. he gets, what do you call it, medals. Yeah, Hashem has better medals and better promotions. And if, God forbid, you know, you're a loyal soldier for God, and you make a wrong turn in a bad neighborhood, and when other people do it, they get killed, Hashem will make sure to get involved that everything's going to work out okay for you. That's all decided on Shavuos. Now the question is, okay, what are we going to do? So, okay, we're going to go around the room. Okay, are you committed? Yeah, yeah. How much you commit? Yeah, yeah. No, yeah, no, yeah. No, that's what we do. Hashem says, you know what? Action speaks louder than words. I'd like you guys, what really be important for me is I want you guys to stay up all night and learn Torah. What? Stay up all night and learn Torah? You know what kind of kilometer height that is? I've been working all day. What kind of unreasonable expectation have you asked me to learn Torah? Hashem says, are you in the game or not? I'm not asking you to learn Torah when it's easy and convenient for you. I don't need that. I want to know who's loyal. Who's ready to make an oath of allegiance? I'm giving you... Everyone likes to be a Jew under what we call ideal track conditions. Hashem says, I'm not interested in those people. I want someone who is interested in non-ideal track conditions. So therefore, Shavuos is designed as non-ideal track conditions. Shavuos is your 24-hour or 48-hour marathon of spirituality with Hashem, where it's absolutely not ideal. Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos is ideal. Shavuos HaMachaya. Sukkos HaMachaya. You start, especially Eretz Yisrael, the mamas, you start dinner at a normal hour, you sit in the sukkah, it's pleasant, this and that. Okay, Hashem wants you to enjoy things too. You think Hashem only wants to be miserable? Really, Hashem wants you to enjoy the religion. But he wants to know first, before you can enjoy it all, I want to know your commitment. So now, Shavuos is a year for, is a time for commitment. Because the entire holiday, it's not for you. It's to show your loyalty to Hashem. And therefore you wait until, we got to wait until 10 o'clock to make Kiddush? Yeah. And after you look at me, you guys say, yeah, what am I going to, you're going to find a way. Because if it's important to you, you're going to do it, you know? When it's important to you, you're going to do it. Because we all know that things that are really important to us, we could stay up all night for something that's important, no? For something that's really important? If I was telling, you know, there are people who wait out in line to get tickets, to be the first one to buy tickets to a rock concert. Right? When they say they're going to open up at 8 o'clock, and what, there's people there from 9 o'clock the night before, and they can't lose their place in line, and they're freezing cold and this and that, because that is important. That's a ticket. That's, you know, the Grateful Dead or whatever crazy things. That's Amish. So Hashem says, I'm asking you to learn for 5 hours. And not only that, but then I'm asking you after that, I'm asking you to daven. And don't go to one of those minions in the morning where lickety-squick. Which is the fastest minion? I'm dying. This one's going to start at 4:45, and it's going to... I know, it's very easy, those early minions. You know, you can't start the Shmona Esrei before sunrise. Right? A sunrise... on Shavuos morning, it's going to be 5:35, sunrise. So you're supposed to time Shmoneh Esrei exactly with sunrise. Now, a lot of people say, you know, I've been learning already till 4:30. That's the optimal time. That's the, you know, we should say, you, now, sometimes during the year, you got to go to work, and the sunrise is late, so we're lenient. Okay, you daven a little bit before sunrise. Because you have to go to work, you know, okay, so I understand you have to go to work. But sunrise is at 5:35. Yeah, but, you know, b'dieved, I could daven before sunrise. So they start a minyan like at 4:30. So they start, and they're praying before sunrise, because they could figure, we start at 4:30, we could be done fast, like really fast, going to blitz. You know, a blitzkrieg minyan. We'll start at 4:30, and we'll end at 6. We'll fly. And when we finish, go to sleep early. Call it a day. That's not what Hashem wants. Hashem says, I want you to stay up all night, and you can't get to the Shmoneh Esrei before 5:35. And I want it to be a slow davening. And I want you to pour your heart into davening. And then you're going to daven a long Shmoneh Esrei. And then we're going to sing the entire Hallel. And then we're going to read the Torah slowly. And we're going to daven Musaf. We're going to have like a 2.5-3 hour davening. Not an hour and a half express, no frills minions, because we're dying. You know, I want to see your soldier. I want to see your best learning, your best davening under the most unideal track conditions. Because I know that if you really had something you really wanted, you could be up for hours and hours and hours. You know, if there is a cricket match, yeah, somewhere around the world where the game is in the middle of the night, do they watch those games, cricket games, in the middle of the night? You know, friends of yours, like at 2 o'clock in the morning, and they're up, man. Are they sleeping when they're watching the cricket match? They're up. They're having pizza and beer and this and that. And they're yelling and screaming and because if it was important to you, I know you could do it. So that's what Hashem is saying. This. So that's what Shlomkov Zevil was telling his students. He says, now that we finished learning, he says, Hashem asks our souls every year at the end of the learning. He asks our souls, do you want the Torah? And our souls say, now seven Ishma, we'll do and we'll listen. So let's join them. Because you know what? We've done it. We stood up the whole night. You can imagine with the Shlomkov Zevil, nobody was sleeping, man. They were up and on fire. And so now we're gonna daven. We're gonna be on fire. And the whole yontif, we're gonna be on fire because I'm telling God, I'm committed. I've got the oath of loyalty. And then Hashem's gonna decide you're gonna have an amazing year. Because if you're loyal to God, even though you make mistakes, God understands. We make mistakes. We can even do sins that should get kares. Loyal people can make mistakes. We're not saying loyal. But a loyal person doesn't say, I'm not in the mood. It's too hard, I'm not going to do it. That's not a loyal person. A loyal person say, you're a soldier and you were planning to do the right thing and you shot the wrong guy. You made a mistake. No, you had to do it. You misunderstood the order. People do make mistakes. The most loyal guy in the army can still make a mistake. But generally, he wants to do what's right. So therefore, everything will be forgiven on this day. Now you understand. Oh, by the way, now you understand why we read the book of Ruth. Why do we read the book of Ruth on Shavuos? So the simple answer is, well, since Shavuos, all the Jews, as it were, converted to Judaism as en masse, we became the Jewish people. So now they give you, just like you have for the nation, you have for an individual. She was an individual. It's a nice individual. Give it a personal touch, which is nice. But more than that, it fits the theme because Ruth, the whole story of Ruth is she converted under most non-ideal track conditions. She was a Moabite princess. She lived like a Moabite princess. Her husband died. Naomi has to go back. She's going to go back as a pauper. To live in Israel as a pauper, having to go into the fields and collect the grain like the poorest pauper. And she was willing to go with Naomi, and Naomi says, you don't want to do this. Oh, yes, I do. You don't want to become a Jew. Yes, I do. And to the point where she says, no, the way you will die is the way I will die. She was committed under the most extremely bad conditions. And when Naomi said that, he says, you know, Boaz says to her, you know, Hashem should bless you because you've come to become a Jew. The point is you came, the coming, because it was most unideal track conditions. That's why we read the book of Ruth. So therefore, we stay up all night because Hashem is trying to understand from us. He's trying to get out from us this idea. I want to see your oath of loyalty. And now what else is there? What are the questions that I have to answer? Let's go back. Let me remember what we started. There's a few more questions. What about the dairy? Yeah, the dairy. Well, the Jews just received the Torah. Yeah. This is great. We received the Torah. Great. Got some. Go home and celebrate. Go to celebrate. Wait a minute. I can't use any of the pots. Can't use the pots. It's all treif. What about our rib steaks? I was planning having a rib steak today. You got a rib steak. What can we have? Well, get some dairy. Dairy? That's not. I guess that's what we're going to have to do. So right away, they had to show their loyalty to Hashem. Dairy, like, you know, it's not nowadays in wine and cheese. They're fooling you. It's still, the beef is where it's at, man. Come on. You go to, I want to know anyone. You've made weddings? Right? Well, right, you made weddings, yeah. You serve pizza at a wedding? Serve dairy at a wedding? Serve good food. If you have money, you buy better beef. You buy rib steak if you got enough money. Someone said, no, we're going to have a cheese fondue. Get out of here, cheese fondue. Dre a couple of cheese fondue at a wedding. Wedding is, you have go see what the goyim. Go to a goyish wedding. You have cheese fondue at a wedding. They got roast pig, whatever's the most expensive thing they can eat. Crabs, lobsters, that's what a yontif is, yeah? No, we get dairy. Dairy because we couldn't. Because God already imposed his will on us. We could have said, wait a minute, this is not what we're bargaining for. Where's the steaks? Well, you're gonna have to make that. Now, what do they have to do now? That break, their utensils made out of earthenware, right? That'll break them all. That'll make new utensils. Can you imagine? You just became a Jew, and now you got to break all your stuff. Let me see what you... So that's why we have dairy. That's why I have dairy. To remember what the commitment was. And that's why we stay up the whole night. Not just to repair their mistake, because Hashem wants to see our loyalty at this point in time, and that's what Hashem wants. Did I answer all the questions, or is something still missing? Does anybody remember what I asked in the beginning? But you understand that if you come to the holiday, the whole point is showing your loyalty to Hashem. So therefore, it's not designed for your total pleasure. When you celebrate Pesach and you celebrate Sukkot, I don't know if it's just a more narcissistic pleasure you found. But if you celebrate Shavuos, then I know you're a loyal servant. And that will testify to all the other holidays how you're doing them properly. And really, to be able to be a loyal servant, you do need 7 weeks of basic training. It's basic spiritual training, going through the 7 characteristics to say, I want to do them in a way that Hashem wants me to do it. Okay, let me end with a little story. Did I tell you? Well, so the story goes like this. There was a girl, I forgot her name now. I think it was Rivka. Could be wrong. I'm not good at these names. Anyway, I usually would have the book in front of me. So anyway, this was during the Holocaust. And this little girl, she's like a 7-8-year-old girl. And she already did not, they were in Lita somewhere. And the Nazis already went in. They killed her mother, killed some of her sisters, whatever. She's left with her father and I think 4 or 5 other siblings. I don't remember exactly. And they're in Lita, and then they find the word that they ran from one way. The Nazis are coming in. They said, we got to get out. So there's no choice. So they got to find the first boat to get out. And the fire says, listen, just take the bare necessities. Take the bare necessities, what you need. We're going to go to the port. We're going to leave. It was Friday. We just got to get out of here. So they take what they can. Now, this little girl, since her mother was brutally murdered, all she had was a little bracelet that was broken, that belonged to her mother. And since her mother died, she kind of transferred her love for her mother to the bracelet. That's what a little kid would do. So every morning she'd say good in Yiddish. A bracelet in Yiddish is a kaitala. A kaitala is in Yiddish. She'd say good morning, kaitala. No, good night, kaitala. Like, that was like her mother. So, the father then tells the girl, he says, okay, we've got to go to the, onto the boat, etc., etc. And so they get their stuff, she can't take her kaitala. Then the father, they get to the pier, they're ready to go, they're going to get on the boat, and the boat is going to now take them to safety. So the father starts speaking to the captain, and he asks him, okay, when is the boat going to get to where it's going to get to? So he says, is it going to get there before Shabbos? Because it was leaving Friday morning, whatever, Friday afternoon. It's going to get there, they hope to get before Shabbos. He says, well, the boat is going to dock a half an hour after sunset. Now, what halachic problem does that present? If you're on a boat, you're going from place A, get to place B. So there's all kinds of problems. Number one, may you disembark from the boat? Well, if it's next to a city, you can. So you can disembark from the city. But if there's no Eruv, then you can't carry anything. You got to leave your luggage behind. So the father says to all the kids, now, wait a minute. You know, when we're going to disembark, so forget it. Okay, you close your pack. Okay, now just wear like 7 shirts. If you wear a lot of clothes, then you could walk it out. You follow? So you brought 5 shirts, wear all 5 shirts. So, But anything that's not wearable, we've got to leave behind. So now the girl has her kaitala, but it's a broken bracelet. So she can't wear the bracelet. And she's going to have to carry it. So the girl says to the father, what am I going to do with my bracelet? She says, you can't take it. She starts crying. And she feels terrible. She can't take this bracelet. Because this is like leaving your mother behind a second time. Can you imagine how difficult this is for this little girl? So the father goes to the girl and says, listen, I know how important the bracelet was to you, but you got to know that, you know, Shabbos is very important, Hashem. You have to keep Shabbos. And that. So the girl consented. And she says, you know, Kaitala, you know, I loved you so much. You know, Kaitala, I love Shabbos more. And Shabbos, I know I'll always have Shabbos. And you, maybe I'll find you, maybe I won't. Maybe one day I'll find you, I won't. But Shabbos I always have, so I have to keep Shabbos. And so it was. So who is this girl? This girl was the daughter of one of the great rabbis of Brisk, one of the great Brisker Ravs. And she was this little girl, and she grew up to become a Rebbetzin Shif who married a big tzaddik and a big Talmud Chacham. And these people who sacrificed for Hashem, they became great, great people in the Torah world. And this is what it means, Nasa V'Nishma. It means to serve Hashem not under ideal track conditions. That's what Hashem is looking for in loyalty. And that's what the Holy of Shavuos is about. And that's what Hashem is judging us. If we're prepared, and here's the point. If we're prepared to be a loyal servant to Hashem in His army, and we make that oath of loyalty, then you know what? Hashem promises us that you're going to have a good spiritual year. See, if you don't make that oath of loyalty, then when the first difficulty comes, you forget it. You don't want to do it. You don't feel any gishmak. If you have that oath of loyalty and you make that effort, Hashem blesses you, and He blesses you in ways that it becomes a beautiful thing. So Hashem should bless us that as difficult as this holiday of Shavuos is, to prepare ourselves and to prepare ourselves adequately for it. And Baruch Hashem, we get a Shabbos before where you can even take a good shluf and you can be prepared. And the women don't have to stay up, but the men should. And again, I'm not talking if you have physical health issues, I don't want anybody to get sick, chas v'shalom. But if it's just a major inconvenience, so this is the holiday to majorly inconvenience yourself. And we should be zocha to major inconveniences. And if you're the wife who's waiting for the husband to come back or whatever, with a big smile and say, this is amazing that I will do this. This is my sacrifice for Hashem amongst all the others. And then we can turn to Hashem. And Hashem says, now that I sacrifice for you, Hashem, I hope that you're going to sacrifice for me. And we need a lot of sacrifice from Hashem. And the Mirtz Hashem will be the Kabbal the Torah. And all good blessings should come for the coming year. Amen. Okay.